The blessing of the Holy Spirit and our precious Jesus be with us all, heart dwellers. Lord, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen every soul who hears this message. O Jesus, you are faithful, and never will you give us more than we can handle with your living presence inside of us. So as you are well aware, dear heart dwellers, whenever Holy Spirit reveals a hole in the binding prayer, I'm quick to make revisions. And there is one thing I have wanted to bring to your attention, because the Lord continues to stress it every time I use the binding prayer. So I'm going to share that with you today. Just as an animal that has been isolated from every bacteria never acquires a strong immune system, so it is with us. If the Lord were to remove all our trials and attacks of the evil ones, we would become spiritual marshmallows and couch potatoes. But praise be to God, he is continually exercising us in warfare and making us strong against all adversaries. And as I was speaking these words, I had a vision of a soldier, a Roman soldier with big muscles bulging out of his arms and his legs. And not only was he skilled with the sword, but he was very strong, very powerful. And this is what I believe the Lord is doing when he allows these trials. One of the things I'd like to mention here is that when you're under attack, and the demons are just having a heyday with you, you can offer all the sufferings of that attack and those inconveniences for the salvation of a soul who is on the brink of hell, who is just about ready to fall into the abyss. And by doing that, you'll greatly frustrate them, because they'll reason, well, the more I torment her, the more she offers up to God for the salvation of that soul. And the less I torment her, the more trouble I get into because I'm not doing my job. So it really does throw them into confusion. I often wondered why he put us in Taos, New Mexico. But it's well known among the occult community that the mountains of Taos are second only to the Himalayas for making spiritual sacrifices to the principalities and powers of the air. It soon became obvious to me that if under the Lord's direction we could survive and thrive here, we could survive and thrive anywhere. Carol and I and others of you continue to be tested and tried beyond your current limits. It seems like there's no end to the sorrows and pains we suffer in this life, although for most of us, it's nothing like those in refugee camps running from merciless regimes. But still, as first world countries, we are suffering our own woes and trials. With each passing day, we have a choice to make: complain or come to God for more strength to endure. And believe me, I'm not for one minute saying that I don't complain. Psalm 108 came to mind here. Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. I am the worst coward among you guys, so be at ease. I'm really the worst coward of all of you, so I know firsthand all about complaining and fear of pain. Yet each day he gives me the grace to live through and offer to him one more painful failure in my body or the loss of another animal dear to our hearts. Just 2 days ago, we had to say goodbye to our Abby, about 14 years old, our dog, who chased a mule and got kicked in the head. We nursed and doctored her for almost a year, and yet her injuries would heal and come back until it was obvious that she'd served her tour of duty down here on earth, and she deserved a reward. Saying goodbye is so hard. But someday we'll be able to say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That's in 1 Corinthians 15:55. Interesting note on that. 5 denotes the wounds of Christ and his suffering, Whenever I see 555 on a clock, I figure, oh boy, we're in for it now. Kind of a warning, so to speak. Anyway, we look forward to the greeting committee when we finally are taken up and out of here, because all of our pets are going to be there. What exactly is the Lord doing? I've learned from 2 decades of experience that the blood of the martyrs truly is the seed of the church, both in an obvious way, like the beheadings in Syria, and in a less obvious way, the death of a dear pet, and even prolonged illness that will not yield to prayer. By the way, that expression, that the blood of the martyrs is truly the seed of the church, came from Tertullian in the 2nd century, who's a church father. I recognize these things happening in each of these events. A fast offering of what is dear to us for the spreading of the kingdom of God, a strengthening in endurance and resolve to accept whatever the Lord allows in our lives, learning detachment, that in the final analysis, the only thing we cannot live without is Him. And finally, the Lord does allow some things as a part of discipline necessary to our sanctification. By the way, I have been nudged more than 3 times to tell you about the book, Abandonment to Divine Providence. It is an amazing book written by Jean-Pierre de Caussade, and it gives us a profound look into the thinking and workings of God during trials. It's a spiritual classic, much like The Imitation of Christ. And it has helped me like no other book to accept with docility the ways of God in my life, and to abandon the purse of my own opinion, leaning on the Lord's wisdom over my shallow human reasoning. Very good book. But getting back to discipline is one of the elements in trials. The Lord disciplines whom He loves and scourges every son whom He receives. It's Hebrews 12. Paul certainly knew all about those scourges and permitted sufferings. He suffered so much. So my point here is that while I would love to write a prayer to cover every eventuality, every demon, every situation, it simply is not possible. Were we to stop having attacks, we'd become even greater spiritual weaklings. So while we can pray against them, eventually we must accept divine providence when the Lord permits them, in spite of our vigilance and prayers. He is building spiritual muscle, guys. Detachment from earthly pleasures, including the approval of loved ones, and physical sufferings, thorns in our flesh. And going one step further, many heart dwellers on our channel have complained that no matter how hard they try, they cannot rid themselves of smoking or giving into sexual temptation or avarice or other faults that plague us, much like a thorn in the flesh. And here Paul explains to us by way of his example exactly what is going on. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Wow, what an insight. He continues, concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That's 1 Corinthians 12. So Paul boasts about the power of God working through him, but the main reason was to keep him humble. Every time I fail to fight off some kind of temptation, remorse follows on its heels, and I'm again humbled. So if the Lord is not giving you the power to overcome your temptations, look to pride, look to judging others, look to lack of compassion and mercy. That's where I find my weaknesses, And then I understand, well, the Lord is humbling me. As soon as I get over myself, the temptations cease. Isn't that amazing? So, Lord, do you have something to add? He began, through and during all of these temptations, my dear ones, I am there, holding your hand, advising you, right there, standing beside you, until you choose to sin. Then I must painfully turn my gaze away. Oh, how grievous sin is to me. And yet, though I allow you to stumble and fall, and withhold from you the sustaining grace to overcome yourself, if it were not absolutely necessary for your higher good in the end, I would not permit it. The solution is always for you to rush to me, fall on your knees and beg for the graces to overcome trials and keep from offending me. When your motive becomes not to offend me, you are on the highway of holiness. The only other remaining thing left for you to do is humble yourself below all others, see their virtues compared to your failures, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the littlest, weakest, and most easily compromised soul you have ever met. Staying in this station keeps you very close to rock bottom, totally dependent on me, and you are far less likely to sin. Always beware of times of victory or completion of a task. This is when you're most vulnerable and likely to let down your guard. Your enemy waits for these times and coaxes you to take your virtue for granted, secretly thinking you're above falling like others. That is the most dangerous time of your life so far. When you've conquered steep mountains over and over again, Satan lies in wait for that next mountain, when you will relax your guard and soar on your laurels. These are the times when humility has been abandoned, and they are also the times when it is needed the most. Always rekindle your awareness that you are positively a zero in virtue without my grace. Leaning on me in this way will sustain you when those lying in wait finally pounce with a huge temptation and reams of excuses as to why you should do it. And if you should be fortunate enough to have many, many victories due to my grace, the enemy will invariably lead you into a trap with great delicacy and forethought. At that point, if you've not been on guard, it's almost too late. Always look way ahead at the potential consequences before you step forward. Not only is the adversary a roaring lion in wait, he's a clever hunter, knowing just where to set the snares and exactly what kind of bait to use. He also watches for a string of events that make you more than usually vulnerable to his suggestions. During times of loss and trial, you become weakened and seeking consolation. This too is a time of great vulnerability, although at those times you were still far safer than after a major victory, because then you were feeling defeated. When you're feeling defeated, you're on guard. I have given you these instructions, my ravishing bride, because you are so close to the time of your nuptials, and I want you to maintain your integrity to that final moment. Know that your greatest enemy is your self-will, and your greatest protection is humility, which always leans towards obedience. Now that you know these things, happy will you be if you do them. My love is forever with you, dear ones.